Only another Brahmastra can counteract this weapon. Since you are expert in military science, subdue this weapon's glare with the power of your own weapon. This is Lord Krishna speaking. As the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama is approaching. And actually there are some purports here, but short purports. So here we'll read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. For the atomic bombs, there is no counter weapon to neutralize the effects. But by subtle science, the action of the Brahmastra can be counteracted. And those who are expert in the military, and those who were expert in the military science in those days, could counteract the Brahmastra. The son of Dronacharya did not know the art of counteracting the weapon, and therefore Arjuna was asked to counteract it by the power of his own weapon. Sutta Rudraja, Shrutva Bhagavata Prabhatam, Palguna Bhagaviraha, Srish Vapas Tam Parikramiya, Brahma Brahmastram Sunday. Sri Sutta Goswami said, hearing this from the personality of Godhead, Arjuna touched water for purification. And after circumambulating Lord Sri Krishna, he cast his Brahmastra weapon to counteract the other one. Is that a good one there? Samat yam yon yam ubayos, tejasi sharasam prate, avritya rodasi kamcha, Vabridhatirka Vanivat. When the rays of the two Brahmastras combined, a great circle of fire, like the disk of the sun, covered all outer space and the whole firmament of planets. Purport. The heat created by the flash of the Brahmastra resembles the fire exhibited in the sun globe at the time of cosmic annihilation. The radiation of atomic energy is very insignificant in comparison to the heat produced by the Brahmastra. The atomic bomb explosion can, at utmost, blow up one globe, but the heat produced by the Brahmastra can destroy the whole cosmic situation. The comparison is therefore made to the heat at the time of annihilation. 31. Drishvaska tejas tutayos, Triloka madhavahat, Dayamana paja sarva, Samartikam amamsata. All the population of the three worlds was scorched by the combined heat of the weapons. Everyone was reminded of the Samvartika fire, which takes place at the time of annihilation. Purport. The three worlds and the upper, lower, and intermediate planets of the universe. Although the Brahmastra was released on this earth, the heat produced by the combination of both weapons covered all the universe. And all the populations on all the different planets began to feel the heat excessively and compared it to that of the Samvartika fire. No planet, therefore, is without living beings, as less intelligent materialistic men think. And text 32, which is our verse for today, and is there on your sheets.
And it was carried out by Arjuna at once. Similarly, there are many agents of the all-powerful Lord, and by his will only can one execute what he desires. He being the Supreme Lord. Prajopakamanakshya Lokavyati Karanchatana Matam Chavasudevasya Sanjahar Arjuno Dwayam. Thus seeing the disturbance of the general populace and the imminent distraction of the planets, Arjuna at once retracted both from us the weapons, as Lord Sri Krishna desired.
Namam Shivaya Krishna Prasad Vidalesha Bhakti Vidalesha Sarvati Vidalesha Namaste Sarasvati Devi Kora Vali Kacharya Nirga Vishesha Shunyavati Vasya Chavishya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Vichananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasati Kora Vali Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
It was a very dramatic part of Srimad Bhagavatam where Maharaj Parikshit is attacked by Ashwatthama because Maharaj Parikshit was the last living child, at least, descended from the Pandavas in that dynasty. And so Ashwatthama was thinking that if I kill him, then maybe it will end the dynasty. And if it ends the dynasty, then, well, then the field, so to speak, opens up, the field for becoming the king, the emperor, becoming the big controller of the planet opens up, and, well, who knows might end up becoming in charge. Already, perhaps the night before or something like that, already, Ashwatthama had killed the five sleeping children of the Pandavas. And now there's just Maharaj Parikshit, who was in the womb of his mother and who would have been grandson of the Pandavas, and then, that would have been the end, at least of that generation or the younger. The younger generations after the Pandavas, one assumes the Pandavas could, if they really wanted to, have had more children. But anyway, Ashwatthama, he was sitting like this. So Ashwatthama, not wanting to really take any chances or to sort of mess around with some lesser weapons, he decided to release a weapon which would just have some massive, massive effect, including killing Maharaj Parikshit, but it's quite likely it would have had a far, far greater effect than that. As we read here in these verses, that when the two weapons combined and struck each other, then there was just a gigantic, gigantic explosion and a fire, which reminded everyone, at least of what they had heard, of the Samartika fire, which takes place at the time of annihilation and actually does annihilate the whole universe. at least it's part of the process, along with what she had done, seen, and various other things actually, that Sambhavika is part of the process for destroying the entire universe. So it really is really extremely powerful. And Ashvatthama, who was not a skilled warrior, he was like Brahma Bandhu, or maybe Kshatriya Bandhu. He was of mixed nature, Brahman and Kshatriya. And he was, that was due to his parenthood. His parents, his father was a Kshatriya and his mother was a creepy, who was a Kshatriya woman. So, and he, Ashvatthama, he never really took up a position in either of those varnas. He never really became a Brahmin by training and by association and cultivation. And he never really became a Kshatriya. He was mixed. And we'll see as the discussion develops through the rest of the chapter that this point is brought out, that he is Brahma Bandhu. He's not really a Brahma. Brahma Bandhu literally means he's the friend of a Brahma. Or more precisely, that he's in a mixed position. Even though on a certain level, there's something biblical about him, his father. But he was never trained, either as a proper Brahmin or as a proper Kshatriya. We see that Rodhaharshana Sutta, he was also Dwija Bandhu. He was also a mixed sort of background. He was a mixed background, but he focused on the rabbinical side, and he actually became qualified in many ways, although not absolutely. But in many ways, he became qualified as a Brahmin, and he became the speaker of different Vedic scriptures, which is an important role to have. It's very important that he was recognized in that way. Of course, because he wasn't fully qualified, Lord Balaram killed him. But in a general sense, he had focused on being rabbinical, and he had many rabbinical qualifications. Shri Shri Radha Radha Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shri Yudhavatam King. So the Ashvatthama, he was not so clearly qualified. And so one of the points here is that he had enough qualification to release the Ashvatthama, I mean the Brahmastra, to release the Brahmastra weapon, but he didn't have enough qualification to withdraw it, control it, and ultimately to withdraw it. He just let it go, and that was that. But Arjuna, because he was highly qualified as a Kshatriya, and highly qualified in all the weaponry, and it was a big science actually, therefore he was able to deal with the situation. He was able to nullify that Brahmastra with another Brahmastra, but then he was able to nullify both of them so that the massive, incredible explosion which appeared to be threatening the universe, or many parts of the universe, so it was suddenly withdrawn. And on the spot, everything went back to basically normal. And tomorrow we'll see Judah immediately just races off and arrests Ashbatana. And then there's a whole big discussion about what to do with Ashbatana, which is very interesting. Anyway, that will come over the next days. Yes, so anyway, this Brahmastra weapon is extremely powerful. Actually, it is the most powerful of all Vedic weapons. And ultimately, it's the personal weapon of Lord Brahma. Therefore, it's called Brahmastra. It's the personal weapon of Lord Brahma. And he is the most powerful of all the demigods, and he has the most powerful weapon. This is the weapon which Lord Ram used, also in a controlled, very controlled way, but he used it to kill Ravana. And people may well become confused if they read these descriptions and if they read literatures like Mahabharata, Ramayana, these types of historical literatures which in many places feature quite sort of lengthy descriptions of great battles. Even here in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many descriptions, not as lengthy as Mahabharata Ramayana, but there are many descriptions of big battles in which these big weapons were used. But what may be confusing to some people is that you read that in these battles, people were fighting with swords and bows and arrows and riding around on chariots and horses. You know, you may get some more colorful characters like some of the demons, the big demons who may ride around on lions in battle, or in the eighth canto, you know, there's quite a bit of description of that. Riding around on giant rats in battle, and even riding around on humans, Hare Krishna, and using bows and arrows and swords and spears and lances, and you know, in other words, it sounds primitive in terms of the military culture of today, where they have these incredibly fast aeroplanes, 3 times the speed of sound, and all these missiles, and guns of different types, etc., etc., etc. And want to speak of atomic weapons themselves. The atomic weapons which we use, well, they are hydrogen bombs, actually. I don't know much about it at all, but it's a somewhat different technology to the current atomic bombs. And those hydrogen bombs which were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki at the end of the Second World War, compared to some of the current day atomic bombs, they're like little, you know, like little firecrackers you can hold in your hand, and they won't necessarily hurt your hand when they explode, compared to some, you know, like a stick of dynamite which will turn you into vapor. So, it's another dimension. If you see some of the aerial photographs of the next morning, wow,
Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Amazing. I mean, the whole, like, the whole city, the kilometers is just flat. So what they could do now, well, it's truly horrible to imagine. And, you know, we should know that there are people out there who are truly horrible enough that, you know, if things reach a certain point, they will use them. They will use them. Anyway, Hare Krishna, let us hope we are not around before it comes to that. But there are definitely people around who have or could have access to these things, who would actually be willing to use them and to just, you know, you've got to use them, you've got to use them. That's what they would think. But anyway, these so-called primitive weapons, you know, a sword, it's a dagger, some sort of knife, compared to a gun, or just a gun from 100 meters, 200, 500 meters maybe. You can kill a person with one shot. It sounds primitive. And riding around on a chariot, Yudhisthira's chariot could float 2 inches above the ground. And that was considered very remarkable. You know, on those battlefields, they were not paved battlefields. They were just the fields. And I'm sure they had plenty of bumps and holes and hollows and angles and twists and turns. But Yudhisthira could ride 2 inches above it all most of the time until that was taken away. So it must have been quite something, you know, bouncing around on the battlefield in your chariot. And now they have airplanes, they have tanks and troop transporters of different types. So people may think, oh, these are just primitive people and it's all just, you know, just from the old days and we are modern people. But then you read about the Brahmastra, and you read about other weapons too. The Shiva Dwar, the weapon of Lord Shiva, which is a weapon of ultimate heat. And the Narayan Dwar, which is a weapon of ultimate cold. Amazing weapons. And not only amazing weapons, but they were like personalities. They were actually personalities. So, it's really quite something. And in some of these big battles, you see, someone releases, it's an arrow, it looks like an arrow. But, you know, maybe suddenly it turns into many arrows, or turns into a snake, or it turns into a something, you know, something much more drastic than just a typical arrow. And what to speak of the Brahmastra, because the Brahmastra was an arrow. It looked like an arrow, but it was empowered. Yes, so it's interesting that when you read the Vedic literatures, when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, and when you read Bhagavad Gita, there's so much philosophy which, if you're at least a suitable sort of person, there's so much philosophy which is very reasonable and very logical, extremely logical, and which is accepted already by many, many people as being extremely profound and worthwhile and valid.
as conceptions of reality. But then you read about these supernatural things. Supernatural, according to what we understand as natural. And this is difficult for people to digest. On one hand, very logical, philosophical, deep. On the other hand, sort of like reminiscent, you could say, of something which would be considered mythological and not to be taken seriously. So, here, Srikrishna is focusing on a particular point that it's not really that the atomic weapons could, Prabhupada says, annihilate the world. Prabhupada says this is childish imagination that atomic weapons could actually annihilate the whole world. And Prabhupada makes the point that the atomic power, the power of the atom, is not really great enough for that. The like the Brahmastra and other of these very extraordinary Vedic weapons, they had much more, like the sources of their power were much more powerful than the atomic, whatever it is, the atomic things which create the atomic explosions, atomic fission, whatever it is. But then, of course, beyond that is the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as Prabhupada is presenting here, it seems to be that Prabhupada is presenting that it is not in Krishna's plan that this whole world is going to get blown up. That's what Prabhupada seems to be implying. That even if some of them try, which, I'm sure there's a very good chance some of them will try sooner or later. But even if they try, it's not really part of the plan of the Lord that they would succeed. Because after all, now is the time for the next 10,000 years, or 9,500 years, something like that. Now is the time for Lord Chaitanya's movement. And if we preach Lord Chaitanya's movement strongly enough, then the world will change before even some of these extreme no goodness, like the one in North Korea, whatever his name is, Kim Jong something, or even Putin. Never trust an ex-KGB man. I tell you what, she was, or even Obama, these people are sort of half bewildered at best. So you never know. But, and actually Prabhupada addressed this point directly and specifically, that Lord Chaitanya's movement is meant to spread prolifically and just permeate society in all the cities and throughout all the civilization. And before too long, come to the point where it actually exerts such an influence that the possibility of this, some sort of attempt at atomic annihilation, that it just becomes done away with. And the movement of Lord Chaitanya really takes root so strongly that the world actually starts changing on that sort of scale, massive scale. Yeah. And even if we look Even if we look at how the movement has developed in the last 40 years, 50 years, 30 years even, then we see that there is a type of momentum towards development, momentum of development and increase, which is happening in the Christian consciousness movement. And if it's developed so much in, say, the last 40 years, I remember 40 years ago, it was very different to today. So if it develops in the next 40 years, that's your lifetimes, many of you, as it has done in the previous 40 years, then, the movement is going to be very different, very, very much bigger than it is today. And its impact and influence on the world will also be very much different and much bigger than today. Yes. So, and this is the will of the Lord. This is actually the will of the Lord. And we know that in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna makes the point to Arjuna that the battle is already won. Battle has not begun yet. But Krishna said, the battle is already won by my will. So just fight, and you'll be victorious, and you'll get the credit. And don't be in anxiety what's going to happen. Can we win, or, might we lose? Don't be in anxiety. The battle's already won by my arrangement. So by the arrangement of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, the Kali Yuga is already to be, at least, transformed. That battle, that spiritual battle, will be won of the spreading of Krishna consciousness and the mass proliferation of Krishna consciousness and the extremely deep infiltration of Krishna consciousness into all societies, human societies. It's all done, so to speak, because Lord Chaitanya has already said that this is what's going to happen. So, and it just depends who wants to get up and take part and just work hard within the context of that program and really preach. Really, that's what it means ultimately. Really preach and really establish Krishna consciousness and really distribute Prabhupada's thoughts and preach in all these different ways. And in this way, the movement penetrates deeper and deeper into human society. And after the 10,000 years, well, Prabhupada also referred to that and said, well, we, Prabhupada said, when we hope you will have all gone back to Godhead by then, because it is going to get unpleasant. You know, it's bad enough now, but it's not that bad. But it's really going to get bad. And then things like this may just well happen. Some crazy person who just gets access to this technology may just blow up this and blow up that. Nothing would be surprising at that point. Yes, so Arjuna. Well, in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, material nature's law works under the direction of the Lord, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada is a quote verse. What's the verse? Who can tell us? The material nature. Nice and loud. Okay. Vayaja Kshema Prakriti. Suyate Satcharacharam. Hitu nāne na kōtea. Jaga nukari nāntate. Hitu means the cause. Maya yakshena means it's going on under my eyes. But then Krishna says, Hitu nāne. I am ultimately the cause, actually. Behind that. So Krishna's in control. And even though you get these bizarre characters who get into control to some degree of certain areas, but we can be confident that Lord Chaitanya's movement will spread, the world will be changed for the better. We can also just assume it won't be easy. And Krishna will arrange that for it to happen and for us to do it, or for you youngsters, that you're going to have to work to spread Krishna consciousness so much, it's going to be really quite a thing. What will have to be done to spread Krishna consciousness like that? But if the devotees serve very sincerely and very dynamically to spread Krishna consciousness, Krishna consciousness will spread and will bring out the best in them, in the devotees. And in that way the devotees will become qualified to develop another pride and go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions, Bhakti Maharaj or Bhakti Shri Vaishnav Maharaj? Bhakti Maharaj. Is there a mic we can give Maharaj? He wants to say something. Or should we just give him this one?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, our glorious dear lotus feet. Hare Krishna. I think it was really nice of you presenting in the class with regards to projecting into the future, what kind of world it might be. It's unknown to us. But over the 40-year span, which you talked about, is my 40 years too, how the world has changed. And it's kind of scary to know what the world will be like. But while we're talking about weapons of mass destruction, I was going to say, they are the weapons of mass distraction, which is relevant to everybody, because we talk about weapons, and like, I was there for the Second World War. I didn't go to Vietnam. I was a Canadian. I wasn't drafted. I didn't go to the Korean War. I didn't see these things. But I did see the weapons of mass distraction. And so we may evade war, but you cannot say, I can avoid the things that will take me away from Krishna, the distractions. So that's the war we have to take on. Have to have our dukes deal with Maya on a daily basis. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Is that here? Madhu Mangal Prabhu.
Maharaj, when you were talking, I was thinking about scripture. All the battles and people that get killed and nuclear weapons. Are they all brought under scriptural code and the shastra? The killings and the murders, or some just gross material murders and killings and using weapons?
Yeah.
You mean in the Vedic scriptures?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was it then? This was not, right? Ashvatthama released his brahmastra. He didn't know how to withdraw it, he couldn't control it. And it was just to kill a child within the womb. So that was not Vedic. And that was bad. And the demons, well, you know, the demons, sometimes they uphold Vedic standards, sometimes not. Even in the Mahabharata, the great battle, the battle of Kurukshetra, it reached a certain point, and they were fighting 24 hours a day. In the beginning, which is according to the Vedic standards, they would stop at sunset. Even if you were here at sunset, you were about to cut someone's head off and off at sunset. It's But it became so furious and wild. They were fighting 24/7 or whatever, which is not Vedic. It's not Vedic. And even let's face it, Krishna did a few things that weren't Vedic too. Right? Shoot, who was it? Karna, when he's struggling to get his chariot out of the hole. That wasn't very great. Anyway, you know, in many cases, in so many cases, they were going to take very good standards. It was the norm, at least. But you know, Kshatriyas, they are influenced by their own passion strongly. And when it reaches a certain point, you know, they lose it to some degree. Yeah. Yes, I wish.
We're speaking about Krishna consciousness infiltrating the world in the future. And yeah. I was just wondering what sort of change will happen in society? What would the world be like if Krishna consciousness did infiltrate? What would society be like?
It will be much nicer. You know, in the description of the ninth canto of the Rama Rajya, the rule of Ram, there was no disease, no old age, no anxiety, and all these things, and even no death for those who did not want it. And Prabhupada specifically says in that purport, the same conditions can be established today in this Kali Yuga through the spreading of the Sankirtan movement. Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. Prabhupada quotes that verse in the Bible. So, you know, at worst, or say in the earlier stages of Krishna consciousness really making a bigger, much bigger effect than it is now, well, there's going to be some really nice things happening. And a lot of people are going to see that. And that's going to attract a lot of people to get into it themselves. Because things will definitely improve tremendously. Until it becomes a golden age. Just like Satya Yuga material. Oh, sorry, yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Your class was very provocative. And going back to recent history in this country, it's been 20 years since, you know, things have changed managerially. And I guess it was a thought at some time prior to the 20 years that if we, this change is made, everything will be oh so rosy. But it isn't really. It's not perfect. It's very far from. And so it doesn't matter what political, social arrangement you make, there's always going to be challenges in this world. And just, it's also sad to say that inevitably there's always going to be some differences of opinion. There's going to be arguments. and that will explode into war. So expect it. Get ready for it. And just keep your head wrapped around Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
We were preaching in Northern Ireland during the Civil War, the part of the Civil War. And it wasn't like really, really heavy, but it was pretty heavy. We would see bombs go off every other day, 3-4 times a week, bomb would go off, fairly near to us. Then you'd hear it and see it go up. And that was just normal. And it became normal for us. And we didn't worry about it, actually. And when a bomb would go off, we would get upset because the people would leave the streets and the army would come and become, the whole thing. And we wouldn't be able to distribute books. And we had to go somewhere else. And that was a hassle. That was really a hassle. But we were there, and devotees, at least one time, a devotee got blown over by an explosion. Not hurt, but knocked to the ground by the force of it. And a car door came flying at him. And as he got knocked over, it just went over his head. But the devotees kind of took it in their stride, actually. Because they were really enthusiastic to distribute Ramana's books. A happy good day keeps Maya away. Okay, thank you all very much. Shiva Prabhupada.